I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. Today we are in 1 John chapter 5 again. We're looking at verses 10 through 13. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to take it and let's turn together there. 1 John chapter 5 verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave us of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want to ask this question to you this morning. When you have doubts that you are a Christian, if or when you have doubts that you have eternal life, where do you turn? What do you look at to determine whether or not, in fact, you are a Christian, you have eternal life? You know, it's interesting, in the book of 1 John, he talks about a couple of different ways that our assurance or our confidence that we're a Christian is strengthened or weakened. And one of the distinctions that I've made in our studies is that there are primary and there are secondary, we could say, supports for our assurance or confidence of salvation. But when we get to the final verdict, where should we go when we are trying to determine, do I have this eternal life or not? Well, this passage really is one of the first passages that we should turn to. In fact, this is foundational. When we talk about primary versus secondary sources of confidence, this passage is a primary go-to passage when a person doubts their salvation. One of the things that we need to do is ask, well, what's the cause of that? What is causing you to have these doubts? If you have any kind of doubt, you need to go to this passage and get the answer from this passage. So really, this passage was written to help us to understand the ultimate source of confidence and joy that indeed we have eternal life and we're a Christian. And that's the work of Christ. And so I want us to look at a couple of very simple yet very important foundational truths that will help us to be a people who have confidence and are able to help people who are struggling with doubts on this issue of assurance of salvation. So here's the first truth that we find in this passage. The first truth is that God has given us an unmistakable record of who Christ is, what he's done for us, and why that's significant. Look down with me at verse number 10. He says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because," listen to the next phrase, it's important, "he believeth not the record that God gave us of his Son." Now, we talk about record, we're emphasizing the fact that the scriptures are really a witness to the gospel message. When people think of Christianity, they tend to think of Christianity more as a philosophy or as a way of life or as a list of rules or standards or something like that. But when we talk about this passage is emphasizing that Christianity is more than anything else. It is a position that is rooted in the work of a real person in history, a real person who is God in flesh, who came at a point in time, died, rose again, so that we could be redeemed to God. In other words, Christianity is really rooted in history. It's a story about redemption. Genesis to Revelation is a storyline about God redeeming fallen man. And so what John's emphasizing is that the person who has believed on the Son, who has the witness of the Spirit resonating in his heart saying, "You are a child of God, he's redeemed, he's trusted in the Son," he's trusting in the record that God gave us of his Son. That really kind of takes us back to what we talked about yesterday in verse 8. It talks about the three witnesses that bear record to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And that reminds us that in the Old Testament and really throughout the prophets, the Bible was giving us a story about a man that would come, God in flesh, to die for the sins of man. In other words, the Spirit witnessed who Christ was. And when Christ came, what did you see? We saw that God followed through with his promise, and we could actually recognize who this person is. In fact, he meets the criteria, the prophecies, that anticipated him are being fulfilled in him. We see the witness of the Spirit and then the water. We talked about at Christ's baptism how God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And we talked about the cross and all the events that took place that bear witness to the fact that Christ is indeed the Son of God who died for the sins of man. So when we talk about the gospel, we need to recognize that God's word testifies, gives a witness, an unmistakable witness to who Christ is, what he did, and why it's significant. But John points us to a second truth, and that is that God has given an unmistakable record to those who have the Son. They have life. Notice what he says in verse 11. "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life." What is that telling us? That tells us that at the most basic level, a person who has the Son also has eternal life. You say, well, how do you have the Son? Well, the Bible talks about receiving Christ. In John chapter 1, he says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So the way that a person has the Son is they say, "I see what the Bible says about Christ. God in flesh died for my sins, rose from the dead. His righteousness can be applied, imputed to me, and I can stand righteous in him." And they say, "I believe that record. I embrace that record. I trust in that record. I receive the Son as my substitute, who died for my sins, who rose from the dead, whose righteousness makes me righteous before God." They receive him, they are placed in Christ, and that's what he's talking about. In other words, he says, if a person has the Son, they're trusting in Christ, they're depending on his work, they've been placed into Christ, they are justified, they are forgiven, they have eternal life. This is a record. This is a promise from God. It reminds me of what 1 Peter 1 says. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." That talks about how we became Christians. We were begotten again. We were regenerated because of the work of Christ. And then he says this, "It's to an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last days." He's talking about the fact that salvation is entirely rooted in God's promise and God's work on our behalf. And in Titus chapter 1, Paul talks about how we have eternal life and we have this confidence because it is in a God who cannot lie, who has promised before the world began. That means that my confidence level should be rooted in the fact that there's a God who promised those who have the Son have eternal life, and God cannot lie. It's not just that he doesn't lie or that he won't lie. He cannot lie. It is impossible. It goes against his nature. And so when we talk about a person's ability to have confidence of salvation, if their confidence is rooted in the person of Christ and his work, their confidence should be unshakable. Then we see a third truth. God has given us an unmistakable record that those who do not have the Son do not have life. On the positive side, if you have the Son, you have life. On the negative side, he says in verse 12, "He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." That means that really the watershed issue on this issue of whether or not we have eternal life and salvation or whether we don't have salvation and eternal life, it all comes down to, what do you do with Jesus? Do I accept him? Do I embrace him as my Savior? Do I trust in his righteousness and his shed blood and his resurrection? Or do I reject it and I find my confidence rooted in something in myself or something else in this world? He is the watershed issue. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't. The Bible is so clear about this. John 14:6, Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through him. When Peter was preaching at Pentecost in Acts chapter 4, he says, there is salvation found in no other name. Christ is the only place where you can be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, Peter writes that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And what we are reminded is that though Christ is the watershed issue, and those who have the Son have life, and those who do not have the Son don't have life, God is calling those who don't have life, who are not in the Son, he is calling them to repent and believe. He doesn't want them to stay in their sin of unbelief. He doesn't want them to continue to wallow in their rejection of Christ. He wants them to turn to the Son and have eternal life. And so even though this is the watershed issue, and it really separates those who have life from those who don't, God is calling us to repent and believe if we're in that position of unbelief. We then see a fourth and final truth I want to mention this morning. God's unmistakable record is meant to give us a steady confidence that we're saved. God wants us to not just be saved and forgiven and cleansed and justified and have eternal life as a possession, but God wants us to be confident of that. And when I say confident, I don't mean arrogant. I don't mean self-confident. This confidence has nothing to do with my goodness or your goodness. It has nothing to do with our righteousness. It has nothing to do with how well we keep up with God's commandments. The confidence is rooted in the sufficiency of Christ's work. I'm confident I have eternal life, not because I'm a perfect guy. I'm confident I have eternal life because I have the Son. I've trusted in his finished work. He has done his regenerating work in me. He has justified me and declared me to be his child. And what is the basis of that confidence? God can't lie. He has promised that those who have the Son have life. And so in verse 13, he writes it this way. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He says, the whole reason that I wrote this section, and I remind you of the record that testifies to who Christ is and what he did, and the reason that I emphasize that those who have the Son have life and those who don't have the Son don't have life, the reason that I emphasize these things is because I want you to have confidence that you have eternal life. And if you have any doubts, look to the Son and remind yourself freshly of the sufficiency of his work on your behalf. And if you're listening to this today and you've not trusted in the Son, well, then the Bible calls you to do that. I want to encourage you that right here, right now, as you watch this video, as you think about these truths, if you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that's something you can do right now. And not only can you do it, God is calling you to do it. He's inviting you to do it. He's saying, come and trust in my finished work. I want to redeem you. I want to save you. I want to forgive you. I want you to become my child. That's the heart of God for people. God sent his Son into the world to save the world through him. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't have the Son, then turn to him while there's time. If you have trusted in the Son, I hope that you will glory in that this morning, that you will just rejoice in the fact that God has given you eternal life and you can have confidence in that. If this has been a blessing to you this morning, I hope that you'll share that. Perhaps share that with somebody else who might not know these truths or might need to be reminded of these truths, may just be blessed by these truths. And I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Let's bow together for a word of prayer and thank God for his love for us in spite of our sin and our rebellion and his work of redemption on our behalf. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the fact that you've given this clear record that eternal life is in your Son. And you've given us a clear record of who he is and what he did and why it's significant. Father, help us to be a people who glory in Christ, who just glory in the sufficiency of his work on our behalf to redeem us and cleanse us and forgive us and declare us righteous in the righteousness of Christ. I pray that you'll bless each person this morning who has the opportunity to watch this video. May encourage them and challenge them. And I pray that if someone doesn't know you as their Savior, that through this video and through the teaching of the scriptures, they would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's been good to see each of you this morning. I look forward to seeing you, Lord willing, tomorrow, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Bye now.